had a good day today, and I appreciate you being here tonight. If you turn with us in your Bible, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, this evening, we'll look at just four verses tonight, preach mainly out of one verse, and we'll stand honor the reading of the Word of God, found in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, and verse number 5. Ephesians 6, verse number 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh. You underline that word flesh. With fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That'll help you get along with your boss a lot better. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, the song that's been sung, oh, what a day that's going to be. And Lord, we know that won't be long according to Thy Word. Thank you that we have a copy of it tonight. Thank you, Lord, we have a place we can come apart from this world and God, hear the Word of God tonight. Help us. Pray you'd bring the things to my mind and heart that you showed me today. Let us be a blessing to you people. And I pray for those that's been asked to be prayed for tonight in the prayer room. God, you'd touch them. Thank you for our church family. Thank you, Lord, for every member that makes it up. But Lord, thank you most for you being here to meet with you, with us as your children. We love you and praise you tonight. In Christ's name, amen and amen. I want to preach tonight on the job for Jesus. On the job for Jesus. Now, I know nobody's going to be shouting too loud tonight, but that's one reason that I do book studies. I love to go verse by verse on a Wednesday night and try to teach through the verses. And that way we hit basically every doctrine throughout our Bible. And it's something that we all don't want to think a lot about. But, you know, our jobs a lot of times are a difficult place, to say the least. And there's a word there that I wanted you to underline where it says that in verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. When you work for somebody that's flesh, then you're going to have some situations arise. And then when they work you because you're flesh, it's always going to be situations arise. The workplace is some more place, is it not? But you know, tonight we ought to let our secular place be our sacred place. And I hope you can take just a simple thought out of this scripture tonight, maybe to make your day better tomorrow. I know a job is what it's called. It's a job. It's work. And we need, first of all, to be obedient, cheerful, and loyal servants. Here Paul was writing in the day when people were taken captive and they were Christians. They'd be put in places as a slave. And there he was talking to them to try to get them to make their day go better. Three thoughts with this text tonight. First of all, a perplexing problem. We got flesh involved. We got a job involved. Number two, not only a perplexing problem, but a proper perspective, a new way to look at something. Then lastly, a practical program. You say, well, preacher, I done got you shut off tonight because I hate my job. Well, I want to tell you something. You don't have to hate Jesus doing your job. And God's been good to us. Did I tell you I was preaching on a job for Jesus tonight? And first of all, now there are some see their job as a necessary evil. Boy, I had second shift one time, and you know, I believe it was worse than third. And had a fence run around the place I was at, just like I was in prison. And I finally got out on a route truck, and I finally got into what I enjoyed doing. But I wish that we could really take a look at what Jesus has to say about us as being servants to our masters and take a look at what He says. Now, some see their job as a necessary evil. Some see their job as a god. You know any of them people? It masters their life and it controls or it consumes everything that they have. They sacrifice their marriage. They sacrifice their wives. They sacrifice their husbands. They sacrifice their children. They sacrifice their church. They sacrifice even their friends. And so the workplace we know can become a god. God never intended it to be that. He said He's a jealous God. And we're to have one God. Now, some try to have a master here and a master over there. In other words, a lot of people, they go out, and I think a lot of times that I lose sight of the real world because, you know, I'll be honest with you, my total day, most of the day, is taken up with prayer and study a lot of days. And I realized tonight, you know, I seen Megan come in, and it's about 6:15, just getting off, as many of you have. She grabbed the baby a bag of Cheetos to go with a sandwich, and out the door she goes, and we'll see you at church. You know, that's the real world. The day that I live today, you all don't get to do that. But you don't get to get the 3 o'clock in the morning calls either. So it is a give and a take. But I don't want to forget about where you are in the workplace. I stayed there 24 years at one place. And it was a difficult time, especially working with people who just didn't have much sense. You know, that's hard. It's hard to do right when somebody above you just hadn't got good sense about them. But I want to give you something in your Bible that will help you from maybe talking ugly or doing something that you'd regret later at your workplace. And this is what I want you to think about tonight. Now, some try to have a master here and a master there. And what I mean is, we'll go to church on Sunday, and man, we'll get all caught up, and we have a great service. And then we back Monday in the same old grind. And so really, we've got a master over there and a master over here. But God doesn't want us to be like that. He says that we cannot serve in Matthew chapter number 6 and 24. We need to take a look at this verse tonight. On some try to have a master here and a master over there. But God says in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, God wants to be number one in our life. So that is a perplexing problem. Let's look at these verses now. Servants, first of all, that's a problem. It's hard to submit yourselves to people. And isn't it really, now let's be honest tonight, isn't it hard to really submit to somebody that you know more about it than they do? I mean, has anybody ever found theirself there? I remember, you know, I started on the drink route, and I'd come through the ranks, and they put a young boy fresh out of college in, and he didn't know what it was to meet a backdoor store manager who's had a bad day and turn your drinks down, make you go back to the plant, bring them back after quitting time. He didn't know about none of that stuff. You know, all he knew was corporate numbers. And so it's hard to deal with them kind of people. And so on your job, you may have somebody over you and you think, you know, I wish that you had some sense. But servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, that are those in rank above you, according to the flesh with fear and trembling. Here it is, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service. I want to hit this. Now, I can remember it may be because I was a real bad boss, but when I would walk in the plant a lot of times where they was building drinks, putting them on the truck, they'd just scatter like a covey of birds, you know. Not I serve. What does that mean? It means just don't be working when the bosses are looking. And you know who used to really get on my nerves is somebody that would just really get up close to the boss and just, you know, just gag you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they try to get up that corporate ladder, and they don't care who they step on getting there. But anyway, not with eye service. You know, a lot of times when the boss walks in, we ought to let him walk in, and it not matter what we're doing, we just keep doing what we're doing because we're faithful unto the Lord. And that's what Paul was saying here. Singleness of your heart is not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God, look from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, a perplexing problem. Number two, a proper perspective. Look what he says in the last verse of number 5. And we see, he says, unto Christ. He says, I want you to be in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. We're all called into full-time Christian service. Do you know that? When we think about full-time Christian service, you think of me of a full-time pastor, or you think of evangelist or a missionary. But here Paul's speaking not only to the preacher, but to the plumber. Not only to the evangelist, but to the economist. Not only to the pastor, but to the policeman. Not only to the missionary, but to the miner. He's talking about full-time ministry, a proper perspective. We're called to be a witness. John 17:15. John 17:15. These economists they tickle me what they're doing. But in John 17:15, would you look what Jesus said? He says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, we're not to be in isolation, but insulation. Now, we are to be in full-time Christian service. Did you know people know where you go to church? Did you know that we are the testimony not only of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, but we are a testimony that reflects from Liberty Baptist Church. We're all in full-time service. And when we're on our job, you need to watch this. Jesus didn't say He's going to take us out of the world, but that He wanted to keep us from the evil in the world. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 9, 2 Corinthians 5, and verse number 9. Take a look at this verse. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all, you can underline that, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account of what He's entrusted us with, what He's entrusted us to be. Romans 12, verse 21. Take a look at that scripture tonight. Romans 12 and verse 21. Talking about the proper perspective. How does God look at us in the everyday walk of life? Romans 12 and verse number 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Then 1 John 4 in the back of your Bible. 1 John 4. I want you to look at verses 4 and 5, 1 John 4, 4 and 5. This is what he says about not isolation, but insulation. He says simply, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, a proper perspective. God has not saved us and put us in a building and stopped the doors up. He's put us out into an environment where He could change the environment. We ought to not be a thermostat. A thermostat, well, we should be a thermostat. We ought not be the thermometer. The thermometer tells us what condition things are, but the thermostat changes things. I see some of you fanning now, but you know, if we turned it down, I don't know what it'd cost around here to keep it cool. But anyway, don't that make sense, too, to be a thermostat? On your job, are you a thermostat or a thermometer? Do you go along with the flow or do you change things? God wants us to be employees. He wants us to be everyday, full-time Christians wherever we are. Housewife, does it matter if you're retired? Everything we do, He wants us to do for the glory of God. And if it's digging a ditch, we ought to dig it for the glory of God. And when the boss comes by and says something smart, we ought not think nothing about it. Say, you know what, Lord, we're doing this for Your glory and for Your honor. And God, I know that You've allowed these things to happen, so I'm going to do it for Your honor and Your glory. Can I tell you there are no accidents for the child of God? Can I tell you that God, no doubt, has allowed us to be where we are tonight by His goodness and His grace? Do you believe that God plans things in your life? Can you look back and think about how God set things up that you are to where you are today? You ever thought about Daniel? My goodness, what a Bible character. I want you to turn there just a second. I want you to look here at some traits of Daniel. Daniel was in the world, but he was not of the world. You know, you can be in the world, but you don't have to do like the world. You don't have to listen to their jokes. You don't have to tell their jokes. You don't have to smoke their weed. You don't have to drink their booze. You don't have to go where they go to at lunch. We're to let our light shine where we are. A full-time Christian. On the job for Jesus. You walk in there in the morning to that machine, or you walk in there at that plant, you walk in there at that place, and you think about, you know what, I've got a new perspective today. I'm not here for y'all, I'm not here for me, I'm here to serve my Lord. And you know what, you ain't got to stuff everybody's pockets full of tracts either. You ain't got to preach a sermon on your lunch break. All you got to do is be a full-time Christian. Because they'll know where you at. I promise you that. Then there were, I used to run into store managers all the time. They'd say, now, preacher, are you lying to me? I said, no, I ain't lying to you. He said, how can you lie? And how can you not lie and be a salesman? I said, be a Christian. I said, if I tell you a lie at this store, I have to go down yonder to the next door and cover it up. The best thing to do is never tell one, then you ain't got to backpedal nowhere. So a proper perspective. Look at Daniel. Daniel was put in a bad environment. You know, it's a place called Babylon. Daniel was when he was taken out of the homeland and he's took to Babylon in Daniel 6. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them and the king should have no damage. Now, preacher, I'm in a bad place. I'm in a bad workplace. Well, how much does a little light shine in a dark place? He said we're to be the salt of this earth. We're no good if the salt don't get out of the box. You say, well, what does a lighthouse do? If we're to be a light, well look, they didn't put a lighthouse downtown. They put it in dangerous places. You'll be surprised that God has got you set in places in your job for you to be a full-time Christian to let your light shine before others that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. You'd be surprised the people that God has purposed to put you in front of to be a witness and a testimony to them in their life. And you know, just a little bit of light goes a long way. Did you know that light dispels darkness? You can put all the darkness in this world in here on this chandelier and it'll never put out that light. Darkness don't put out light, but light puts out darkness. You say, well, I'm in a bad dark place. Let's turn your light up.
Quit going along with the crowd and the boys and the girls and turn your light up. That's where people get in trouble more times than not at the workplace. You know why? Because it's about 70-80% of our life. Some fella said he spent $2,000 on his bed. God said, well, why would you do that? He said, well, because I spend 35% of my life in the bed. We spend a lot at job, don't we? Wouldn't it be so much better if we had a different attitude? We walk in and say, oh, this place has been so bad to me. Well, you know, really it hadn't. There's a lot of people out of work today. I know a lot of guys wish they had the opportunity a lot of our men have tonight. You know, a lot of times we think, boy, we've got it so bad. But when you get to thinking about it, boy, I'm glad I've got hands can pick something up and work in a little bit. You get put in a neck brace and walk around like a zombie, you'll go appreciating that you could work. Amen? And so a lot of times the devil, he tells us that nobody else is facing things. But Daniel was in a bad place in Babylon. Well, you know the story, and the Bible said that Daniel in verse 3 was preferred above everybody else because an excellent spirit was in him. Now listen to me tonight, folks. We're never going to have an excellent spirit on us till we have one in us. And I tell you what would change everything about us tomorrow if we walked in a new perspective and said, Lord, I'm here to serve you today. I'm doing this for your honor and glory. And you've told me to submit to my masters in the flesh as unto the Lord. And God, I'm submitting myself to you. It's a flesh thing. This flesh is big. So Daniel, the Bible said, verse 4, the presidents and princes sought to find occasion of him. They didn't like him. You know why? He's a Christian. People on your job, as a norm, is not going to like you if you're a Christian. Go on and get that through your mind. I've been preaching on Sunday mornings on Nehemiah. That's one of the greatest things the devil will do, harassment. Them little foxes, can y'all really build that wall up? Them little foxes is going to tear that down. When people laugh at you at being a Christian, that bothers some people a lot worse than running over them with a car. They're going to embarrass you. And I'm going to tell you what, everybody's not against Christians, but many are. Now, these presidents and princes, they sought to find occasion against Daniel, but they knew they couldn't find nothing on him about his work. They knew they could find nothing on him in what he was doing with his job, so they knew what they could do. The Bible said in verse 10 that the king had established a writing. In verse 10, Daniel knew the writing was signed. Well, nobody was to pray. Nobody was to call on their God. But Daniel didn't let it interfere with him. Verse 10, he knew the writing was signed. He went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled on his knees 3 times a day, prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. I wonder would any of your workmates ever find you praying and making supplication before his God. They came near and spake to the king and told him about it. He said, listen, he's not listening to you. He said, Daniel, in verse 13, said, he don't regard what you've done. Said, he's not going along with your petition. He's doing what he's always been doing. And let me tell you, it comes a time in a child of God's life that we've got to draw a line in the sand, and when it goes against this book, we don't do it. If your employer is wanting you to cheat or steal or lie, that's when you back up and say, I can't go there. I knew a guy took an interview in a big sales job, and one of the questions was, would you lie for this company? Well, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of places would love for you to lie for them. But you know what? Lying's still lying. Stealing's still stealing. Cheating's still cheating. You know, if you think about it, if I hire out for a man for $10 an hour, and when he leaves and I sat down 30 minutes on him, I'd have stole $5 from him. But nobody has that mentality no more. You know, now we have the labor unions and we have all of this crazy stuff that, you know, nobody can't have any sweat anymore. But it's unbelievable for the ethics and the character of our countries. You know, used to, in the Pepsi days, you know where we get the best help to unload the trucks is from this area to Carrollton. Those guys that stay with it. We'd get guys in from Peachtree City or these metropolis places. They'd come in. Well, you'd see your truck down at Kmart and the seat's in ignition. You'd go there and ask the route man what happened. Say, we don't know where he went. You'd come and say, well, that's too hard for me. I just left. Well, it's called a job. I'm going to tell you, though, when I got a route truck, Brother Larry, it sure did beat that hayfield I come out of. And so that's the mentality, though. And that's what we need to be thinking when we're working for our employer. We are representing Christ. When I'm in a convenience store, anybody ever lost their temper? I mean, I guess I'm the only preacher that's ever got a temper that gets in trouble. But, you know, you got to think about it. When we walk in a convenience store and I walk in and buy a lottery ticket, you know what I'm doing? I'm condoning gambling. I walk in, I buy me one Miller Lite. Not a six-pack one. You know what I'm doing? I'm condoning drinking, and I'm telling everybody comes in and watches me, it's fine. Did you know, you ask any drunk in this country, they drunk one time? We're to be a full-time Christian. You know something, and I know I'm sort of on a one-track mind, but if your employer come in and six or seven of you were just sitting down and the boss walked in, you all just sitting down, what kind of testimony is that to the Lord Jesus? What kind of testimony? Well, he says he's a Christian. So we need to be a Christian. You know what I've always noticed? I've noticed just like Daniel, and you wouldn't believe the nights, when I was reading this and I was thinking about some things, you know, God always promotes His people that does right. Did you know that? God's people's always suffered. They've always been ridiculed. But they've always come out on top. Did you know what? They threw Daniel in the den. They threw him in the den of lions. That's an amazing thing. And you know what? In verse 18, the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting. There wasn't instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. God got in a bed with him. And the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions. Could you imagine? He loved Daniel. He loved Daniel because he had excellent spirit in him and on. He loved Daniel. And so he hollered and he said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, verse 20, is thy God whom thou servest continually? You see that? Whom thou servest continually? Not just on lunch break. Thou God whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. And then said Daniel and the king, O king, live forever. You know, when you go into a bad place with a good spirit, you can come out with a good spirit. My God's what he said, has sent his angel, has shut the lion's mouths. Now, I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but nobody lived through what he just got through. These lions, you could count the bones in the ribs. They throwed him in there, a Christian from the workplace. That's what amounted to. A Christian in the workplace wouldn't bow to their gods. He said, I ain't a doing it. I'm going to stay with the staff. And it put him in the den. But he got promoted. I wonder what we'd have done. If we'd been thrown in there with them big lions and looking at us. I sure would want to be up on my praying, wouldn't you? That ain't no time to go to confessing nothing. Ain't no confession booths in the lion's den, neighbor. He said, my God has sent his angel, verse 22. You know, we'd be amazed how many angels God has sent on our account that we never knew God was looking about us. And he said, look, their mouths. This right here ought to help us. Didn't I say something about Sunday? It's not what they call you, it's who you answer to. They put their mouths. Look what it says. It says, they've not hurt me for as much as before him innocent was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. In 22, my God has sent his angel, has shut the lion's mouth. I love it when God gets the last say-so, don't you? Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him because he believed in his God. The king commanded they brought those men which had accused Daniel. Now what about this? And they cast them into the den of lions right where they just pulled the Christian out. And look at what else they done. But are you talking about a hard time? We don't know nothing about a hard time. Read your Bible. Look what just happened. The king commanded, they brought those men which accused Daniel, and they cast them in the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Now, I don't know what happened with this king between when he didn't sleep too good and he found Daniel in a good, safe place. But it wasn't good for them boys that was accusing him. And you know what that tells me tonight? You better be careful who we put our mouth on because it will affect our children and our wives and everything we got. We better be careful what we do. God hath sent his angel. Then verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. He said, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Boy, wouldn't that be amazing if you was a man that changed the whole providence or a woman that changed the whole providence because of your Christian character at your workplace? For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, his dominion shall be even unto the end. I seen a guy the other day. You ever had anybody, when you see them, that just get under your skin? I seen a guy the other day. He had won the lottery. I forget how many millions he had won. And back in the old days, you know, he always had a little attitude, but now he really got an attitude. He walked up to me and popped something off smart about 3 weeks ago, and I just kept doing my business. And he said something smart again. I just kept doing my business. And he said something smart again, and I caught myself. And you know what? I didn't say nothing. You know what he done? He moved right on by my vehicle and didn't say nothing else. Now, I could have made an ugly commotion. We're full-time Christians. You know what I done noticed? People don't like you, they ain't going to like you no how. And so you might as well just serve God and love Him and say, Lord, I'm here for you today. And I sure do love you, Lord. And Lord, I'm glad you saved me. I sure am glad I get to go to your house one day. And you know, this is what He done for Daniel. He said in verse 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. It does pay to be a Christian. Don't let the devil tell you it don't. And let me tell you, everybody's watching you too. I can remember one night in a sales program, they give us out tickets. And they had all these big roulette wheels set up, a big casino and a tent. And of course, I was pastoring here then, and I give my tickets to the guys. I said, guys, I don't need these. And I sat outside the tent. There I was drinking my Diet Pepsi. And people coming in, seeing me, you know, I'm talking about 13 plants of people, all the employees there. And a guy walked up to me and he said, you know something, preacher? I appreciate you being a Christian tonight. You'll be surprised. Let me ask you something. If I'd have walked in that casino and got a drink with them boys, what kind of testimony would I have? We're not better than nobody else. I wasn't there trying to stuff a tract in everybody's pocket when they won in the tent. I just being a Christian. And you know what? You can be yourself and be a Christian and just love people. You don't have to have an attitude. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm doing his job. And he's told me to serve my master. And I love him anyway. And I hate my job. And I hate I got up this morning. I'm hardly wait to get home because I hate her too. And I'm hardly wait to go to church Sunday. I hate him too. Well, I say hallelujah, what a Savior. This Daniel prospered. Let me tell you, God prospers His children. You may not be in the nicest, greatest house in the subdivision, but let me tell you something. You've got things money can't buy tonight. Can you put a price on your children or your grandbabies saved? Can you put a price on your salvation? You know, Hollywood has painted such a big picture about things, wealth, and money. They're the most miserable people in the world. I seen a family this morning. They had 18 or 19 children from Tennessee on a talk show, and they were Christians. They were out of debt, had no charge cards, nothing. They was interviewing them, and everybody was astounded. One little girl was doing the laundry. Could you imagine doing laundry for 19? And she asked her, she said, how do y'all sort socks at your house? She said, well, I put all the whites in this pile, all the darks in that pile, and we just go in there and get them. And of course, you know, they asked the mama, she said, now you've had 19 children. How do y'all do things? She said, we have our faith in God. We believe Bible principles. So there, you take 19 children. Did you know either 19 children, one was 22 years old, had never heard of Star Wars? They asked them. Do you know who Star Wars are? And they all of them look like. And they weren't all little zombies and robots either. I mean, they were great-looking kids, having a time. Showed them out on bicycles. Our kids don't know what bicycles are. I rode a bicycle long enough. That's why my knees were out, Brother David. We rode in bicycles a lot. Y'all don't know what real country living is. We used to get a tractor, tie a rope behind it, tie it on the handlebars of the bicycle. Down the road we'd go in road gear. You ever seen a bicycle do this right here? Kids don't know what real living is tonight. But it was so refreshing to see a family on that show and that's giving glory to God and doing things right the Christian way. It does pay to be a Christian. And you know something, there was many times in that office of that plant before I could I close my door and I'd get on my knees and I'd pray, God, give me wisdom. Because I want to show you here, you folks that are working people, I'm going to close with this. I want you to look at something, what it says. In Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. In other words, what you do will come back to you. Have you ever heard that? You just hang in there and stay with God. Then watch this verse. And ye masters, or you bosses, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Whether you are employer or employee, you're going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God and give an account of what we've done. Now I want you to notice this, a perplexing problem, flesh, masters and servants. A proper perspective. Note, we're all called into full-time Christian service. You got that? We're lights. Lighthouses are not put downtown. They're put in dangerous places, rocky places. Are you giving anybody any light how to get into the promised land? Are you giving anybody any hope? Being like them is not going to give them hope. Are you witnessing to them? Are you inviting them to church? You know, are you showing them that being a Christian, you can be fun and you're not a robot? You know, I believe in doing right, but let me tell you what, being a Christian, is fun. Have grace about you. I sure am glad I'm not in a church with a bunch of Pharisees and judging everybody's dress hem when they come in the door and everybody's hair length. And if we'll just serve God, get filled with the Holy Ghost, He'll show us how to do things. Amen. A perplexing problem, a proper perspective. We're lights. Then a practical program. See your job as a partnership, verse 6 and 7, with the Lord. Look at it as a partnership. That's you and God walking in there in the morning. See your job as a place of service. Did you know God said if we don't work, we don't eat? Let me give you some places to mark in your Bible and then I'll be done. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. That is in a Baptist church, was it not? Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word but this epistle, note that man have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Then I want you to look in 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 8. 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know, jobs are hard, I know that. Money's tight, I realize that. But you know what? We're to be a full-time Christian at the workplace. And I promise you this, if we did praying every day, it would change our services here on Sunday. And I thank God for what we've got. But you remember this, people around you is watching you, but more important than this, there's a settling up day. You say, well, preacher, they cheated me. Okay, well, listen. Let me give this thought before we go. If they cheated you, I've been cheated before. All right? He's in prison tonight. I wouldn't trade places with him. Would you? He got 18 years. I wouldn't. He got 30 families of us. He cheated me. I was done wrong. I'm not going around and with that kind of attitude. God's been good to me. There's a settling up day coming. Now let me leave you with this right here. I said it Sunday. I don't know if anybody got it or not. If you've got something on somebody, if you've got an issue with somebody, and this is the way I want to say it tonight, if there's somebody between you and God, they're closer to God than you are. Because they're between you and God. They're closer than you are. And I had a purpose in my heart. God, I'm going to pray to that happened to me don't matter no more. And I got there by the grace of God. Appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with us. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know.